There's somebody here that has been. It will sound like a general thing, but it's just for you. It doesn't matter if it sounds like a general word. But if you know yourself, just receive it. You've been struggling with something that has been really, it's like a crossroad for you. You don't know what to do. It's just a crossroad. And the Lord is saying at the cross, when you get to the crossroad, it's a cross. You don't know whether to go left or right or what to do. The Lord said, at the cross, I surrendered to the will of my Father. And this morning, if you will surrender and just simply say, God, I want just your will to be done. Not my will, but your will. If you want to pray that this morning, it's for you. Father, not my will, but your will. Because you are at the crossroad. And God wants to intervene and orchestrate his will to take preeminence in this situation. And it will give you a clear direction, because it's going to make things happen in such a way that because you pray this prayer, it's going to lead you in a path that you know he answered your prayer this morning. So just pray that prayer and just release that burden. Surrender to the Lord and let him take the path for you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for lifting burdens, worries, and concerns. We give it to you. And I thank you for giving clear directions. I thank you for your peace. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I was at a crossroad in 1991, and I didn't know what to do, but I had to make a very big decision. What am I doing in Cleveland? Why am I here? Why am I here? And I was between struggling, making a decision. I can look at this direction and say, that's why I came to America. I can look at this direction and say, what am I doing here? And I was struggling. It was a big burden. And that day, there was a service taking place just like this morning. That's why somebody this morning, this is just for you. I was just sitting at the back, at the right towards the back of that sanctuary. And a word like this came straight to me. And it changed everything. So, whomever you are, I pray that you live in this place with peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why are you here? Why do you go to church? Why do you come to a family, a place like this? Why are you not sleeping on your bed? Why are you not doing? Just God is there. You can be yourself. You can do whatever you want. But why do you choose to be here? And why do you come here? Those that normally come. You see, there are two major atmospheres we are under. Two major atmospheres we are under. And these two atmospheres, they are fighting for your destiny. They are contending for your soul. One atmosphere is, you won't see it with your physical eyes, but it's represented by night, darkness. That atmosphere exists. And the ruler of that atmosphere is the prince of darkness. He wants your soul. He wants your life. He wants to lead you in paths that the end of it is destruction. But there's another atmosphere that is the kingdom of God right here. And this atmosphere is the one that really loves you, cares about you, that brought you into this world. Amen. And wants to fulfill why God has brought you here and bless you and honor your life. So the reason they are fighting is not because they are really fighting. Because light and darkness don't fight. The reason it looks like they are fighting is because in these two atmospheres, they've given you something. And that's your will power. Your will will let you decide and determine which atmosphere you want to live for. And that's why it looks like a fight. You see, there's a reason why God created the day. If you drive during the day and you walk around during the day and do things during the day, everything is clear, everything is bright. You can see your way and you see where you're going and you see what you're doing. But it's a reason why there is night. At night, if you don't have headlights on, you don't have light, you don't know where you're going. You're walking in darkness. These two physical entities are just a metaphor. This world we live in, day and night, is just a very good representation of a reality I just share with you. The world of darkness and the world of the kingdom of God. You don't see them with your eyes, but they direct the affairs of your life, whichever one you give your will to. So when we come to an environment like this, we are here to be empowered. We are here to be enlightened. We are here to be quickened. We are here to be challenged. We are here to encourage, to empower you to live for light and to surrender your will to the will of God so you can walk in your destiny. Amen? Amen. There was a man that was a rich man, a businessman. And this man was a crooked businessman. There's no way he can change his life himself. But he heard that Jesus was coming. And there were so many people around Jesus, just like here we are in the church. So many people come to church. There's so many people around Jesus. But this man was very short. He can't get to where Jesus is. So he went and climbed a sycamore tree. And he climbed on that tree because he was desperate to see Jesus. And so as people were around him, this Jesus walked. And when he got to that tree, he said, "Zacchaeus, come. Today, I will go in your house." You know, we can come to an environment like this. As long as we are seeing man, we will live the same. But if we see Jesus, you will not go home the same. Amen. There's only one thing that can change us, and that's Jesus. And because you don't see him, you hear him. That's what you're about to hear this morning. The word of God is the word of God. It's Jesus. Amen? The word of God will reveal Jesus to you, and you see him by your spiritual understanding. The word of God will speak the word of, speak Jesus to you. Amen? Amen? So this morning, take heed how you receive. You're not listening to a man, but listen to what the Spirit of God wants to say to you. So when you leave this place, you know you're going home a changed person. Amen? I left 1991. I left the environment. My life was changed forever. And from that moment, I don't come to church listening to the man here. I'm listening to what God is saying. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to say something to you so you know how you receive from the Lord. Because I want us to continue in that series of worship. We've been talking about it. If you miss it, please go. They are all online. You can catch up online so you can follow up where we are. We started a series this year, Understanding Worship. Amen? If you go back, you understand we covered why we worship. Just touched it a little bit, why we worship. And then, after we covered it, the benefits, the reason we worship, some of the breakthroughs that come when we worship. This word worship is an acronym. We want to cover what they mean, touch each of what they mean as we go through this year, so that by the end of this year, everybody in this house will have a miraculous encounter. A fresh encounter. Amen. A new testimony because they practice this. So that word worship is W means the word of God. That's where we are right now. The O means obedience, or you are ordained for a purpose. Amen? And we're going to look at those in details. The arrow means you're redeemed with a price. You're redeemed. From darkness to light, from poverty to wealth, from sickness to health. There are things God has redeemed us from. We're going to find out what redemption really means. Amen? Amen. Then the S means sonship. Last week we went through this a little bit. The first Adam is where we all came from. The second Adam is the one that came from heaven. When you are born again, you are translated from you here to become the sons of God. And if we don't understand our identity, we'll still be living just like the world. Amen? So we need to know who we are. Amen. The first thing the police wants to do when they stop you is, who are you? Where's your license? And they check you out. If you don't know who you are, it's hard to live a believer's victory. The next one is H. Once you know you are a son, every son that has parents every son, there's what is called heirs. If you come from a very big family or a royal family, you are an heir. And so to be an heir means you carry the bloodline of that lineage. If they are kings, you carry the blood of a king. Amen? So we're going to find out what it means to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So these are benefits of revelation of redeemed, being redeemed. And then the next one is inheritance. There are many things that we don't realize it is our human ability that has brought us. God blesses our hands, feet, our brain to work hard and to become what we are. But there are things that God has prepared for you that your eyes have not seen, neither has entered your mind. These things God has ordained for you to walk in, to receive. as an heir of God. Amen? When people die and they have big estates or they have kingdoms, they leave it for their heir, and it's called inheritance. You don't work for it. You don't pay for it. It's already been paid in full. You just receive it because you are that blood. We're going to find out what that looks like. Amen? What's the next one? From inheritance, what's the next one? P, which is the last one for worship, the presence of God. We're created for the presence of God. Animals live in the forest. Fish lives in the water. Birds live in the air. We, born again, are designed for the presence of God. So if you become a Christian and all you know is just this physical world, you are still struggling with your identity. The presence of God is what makes all the difference. Amen? The restoration. So we're going to be looking at each of them. Now we are in the first one, the Word of God. Amen? We started that last week, and we want to continue. Amen? This is the Word of God. The Bible. The complete written Word of God. Amen. Amen. So let's open our Bibles again to the book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Today, there's something that will help us receive the Word of God. I don't know how long the Spirit of God will have us on the Word, on this W, but there's something that will help us receive. This Bible, the Old Testament, was mostly written in Hebrew. And the New Testament was mostly written in Greek. So most times they have what you call a concordance or study Bibles that when you want to really study the word, you can read this word, but when you go into detailing studying on the original language, you will see that they have meanings. Amen? So this morning I want to introduce you to two words. They say the same thing, but they mean different things. Amen? The word, word, W-R-O-D. So the first one here, in the beginning was the word, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, W-O-R-O-D. That word, this statement here in Greek is the word called logos. Logos. Amen? Amen. Now, let's open to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. I want to quickly show you this before we continue. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is what? The Word of God. You see that word again, word? Now, if you check this, the first word I read to you in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you click and study that same word in Greek, it's logos. But if you check this one in Greek, it's called, one is logos, and the second one is rhema. This one says rhema, and the other one is logos. Amen? Now, we're not going into studying those two words, but let me tell you, what these two words means as we study the Bible under the Word of God. Logos means the Word of God. It means this Bible. Everything God has spoken from the mouth of God means the Bible. Infallible Word of God as Logos. Written. Amen? For us. Prophecy. Everything that God has written is Logos. Just the simple form. Rhema is the Word of God revealed. Revelation. Understanding the Word of God. When the Spirit of God opens your eyes, opens your understanding to the Word of God, you receive what you call a rhema. Understanding, clarity. For example, that word in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the word, it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How can the sword of the Spirit be the Word of God? So that when you click the word word there, it says, but this one is rhema. It's a revelation. Let me give you a final example. When Jesus was walking among his disciples, he was asking them, who do men say that I am? Who am I? Who am I? And all of them were guessing who he is. And Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. So whenever you read this Bible, you are studying, it's like the Logos. This is the God's word. But when you receive the revelation from prayer, understanding, that's a rhema. Amen? You're able to see Jesus in these pages. You're able to understand what this is trying to say. Like I preached to you some of the, what the Lord will be saying to you is revealing a rhema. Now, the purpose of rhema is not just to stalk them in, go out. The purpose of rhema is to give you direction and to give you the ability to obey. Once you obey them, amen? When you're going through difficult times, you need a breakthrough, you need this. Sometimes God will speak a rhema word to you. And once you obey, that breakthrough comes. Amen? So when you come to a gathering like this, you hear what I'm saying, but listen for the rhema. Because that's what the Spirit is taking what I'm saying and saying to you specifically, hear what the Spirit is saying to me. That's rhema. Because what you see, you are able to apply. Amen? So have that in mind. So the Word of God. Let's start from W. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is amazing. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That means God made everything. Amen? In Him was life. Again, in Greek, that word life is not the life we have here that dies. That word life means zoe. It's a life that never ends. Eternal life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to be a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Because he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, listen to this, to them he gave the power, the power to become the sons of God. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe in on his name. Listen to verse 13, and then we'll break this down. Which were born not of blood, one, nor of the will of the flesh, two, nor of the will of man, three, but of God. Let's jump to 14. And the word, Logos, the word of God, God himself, became the word, was now made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So what does this mean? We are still on the word of God. This was what John said. So, these first few verses we read, I like to use illustrations. Amen? Amen. Last week, we read from 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 45 down. We talked about God created Adam. It was the first Adam. Amen? From Adam's blood came every human being on the face of the earth, apart from Jesus. So everybody that was born came through the blood of Adam. And because Adam sinned, that blood has been contaminated. It cannot fulfill God's plan. So it's like a computer chip that has been corrupted. It cannot function. It doesn't have the capacity to please God. So it calls all have sinned. I'm conscious. So every human being living on the face of the earth today that doesn't know Jesus is corrupted by sin through that blood. So every human being living on the face of, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a president or a king, you carry that blood. Your limitation is in this world. And when you die, your limitation, let me explain. I explained to you here, it says, powers of darkness. Every bloodline that has not received Christ from this bloodline is under darkness. It's the kingdom of this world. Amen? Amen. This kingdom is visible to men, but the rulers of this kingdom is invisible. That's darkness. Amen? So now, because he was corrupted, because he cannot fulfill the plan of God, Jesus came. It's called in 1 Corinthians 15, the second Adam. Second Adam. This one was not born by a man from Adam's blood. He came through a virgin. He was born by God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, understand, he was born by the word of God. Amen? Amen? So that's first Adam and the people of this world. This is second Adam. The second Adam is a spirit. Born by the spirit. Amen? But put on human body. That's why he came in the flesh. I just read it to you. He became flesh. But he came from heaven, became flesh and dwelt among us. So for you to be born again means for you to be a son of God, you are a spirit. Amen? Okay. So here, the physical world, because they are not spirit, they don't see spiritual things, except for those who seek to know the devil, they only focus on physical things. So the spirit world, satanic world, manipulates their lives and they don't know it. Ephesians says, I was in that world. We were all in there. We were doing the beats of this world without knowing it, thinking it's life. So now, that's called blindness. You can go study last week, so you don't have to go back to why we're here. So Once you are here, it does not matter how you were born into this world. Whether you are born by blood or by the will of the flesh. Will of the flesh means you might not even know who your father is. You just got born. I have a friend that one of the most powerful ministers in Uganda today, the largest church, he was born and put in a trash can. So it doesn't matter whether you came through a blood, it doesn't matter what kind of way you came, or born by the will of man through marriage. It doesn't matter how you came into a fallen world that Satan wants to just destroy your identity. So it doesn't matter how you came. The reason Jesus came was to void every situation, every circumstance, and make you somebody here. Cancel your cult, cancel everything that is against you, and give you what his father gave to him. We're going to look at that through this series, redemption. Now, here, they only live by physical sight. Amen? Here, if you have a problem, the world has ways to solve it. The government has its problem. People have their problem. They go to where they can find solutions. Amen? Amen. Crisis have their solution. It doesn't matter the crisis, the world has their own. But the solution here has a limitation. There are problems man cannot fix. They are spiritual. Amen? So when people get to this point, they will say, you're going to die. When people get to this point, they will say, it's incurable. When people get to this point, they will say, you are poor, you can never. When you get to this point, they say, you're rich, you're miserable. The world has its label and its culture, and there is limitation. But when you come here, the kingdom of God, you cannot see it with your physical eyes, but you can hear the voice very clear. The reason why you can't see God with your eyes is because God is a spirit. And the reason you can't see God with your eyes is because you are a spirit. So if you want to see God, you got to go in the spirit. That's why the book of Revelation was written. John says, I was in the spirit. If you want to experience God and you want to experience him in the spirit, you have to receive a rhema of this word. Revelation. Amen? Amen? So when you receive, here they will say, the word comes, human words, you're going to die. This is going to happen to you. They've put a curse upon your life. Your family line is corrupt. Your mother's line is corrupt. They used to do this, they used to do that. Or you never amount to anything. You know, all these words that the world has heaped on us, and people just, that's the end. Some go see God. But here, the word of God says, even when you are dead, I will raise you up. Here, when you are sick, God says, I will heal you. When you are poor, I will make you rich. Everything men cannot do, Jesus says, I have already given it to you through my blood. Now there's a problem. Because we came from this world, we go by what we see. Amen? Amen? We are used to what we see. We're used to what we hear. So when we get saved, when we get born again, when we now are born again in our spirit, amen? Amen. Our minds are not renewed overnight. But we are spirit. Please pay attention. So now, what happens is, we get born again. We read this letter of the word, we read it, and we are in church, we read it, and it's not working for us as we ought to. Why? Because we are reading the letter. We are reading it. The reason we don't believe it is it's not rhema to us. It's not real to us. And the reason it's not real is it's still in our head. It's not connected here. For you to really receive the breakthrough, understand and obey this word, you have to have rhema, revelation. Rhema means God takes this word and he speaks it to you like somebody talking to you. God spoke to me today. The reason, too, is because this word is spirit. Amen. Amen? The natural man cannot obey a spirit. The natural man cannot obey what they don't see. That's why unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John, 1 John 3. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into it. Because God is a spirit. His word is a spirit. And the only way this kingdom operates as a spiritual kingdom and we are physical is what the Bible calls faith. Faith is, let me give you an example. I can see my brother here and the wife. Listen to this. They say to me, you have a need? I say, yes. They say, what is your need? I'll say maybe $1,000. It's okay. We're going to write you a check and you can go to the bank and you can cash it. Can I doubt it? I hear them. I see them. I know they have the money. I know their integrity. I know who they are. And I know everything about them. I trust them. I know they have the money. I can't doubt. So when I receive that check, I cannot doubt. I will take that check to the bank and cash it because I see and I hear, I know. But you see this? God can tell you, I will supply your needs according to all my riches. I will heal you. I will help you. I will overcome. All the things God says here, we just hear it, but we don't believe it. I believe this person because I see him. I know him. I trust what I see. That's the world. But this world, this kingdom, you don't see. So when God, you read this Bible, and God is telling you, I am God. I will bring you through. I am with you. You're reading all this, and you're hearing it, but when this situation really hits, you just know that I never believed it. Why? Because it's still logos. Until it becomes rhema. Rhema means I can see it. I can hear it by my spirit. When you obey rhema, things begins to happen. Amen. I had a need here, physical world, and there's no way I could meet the need. And I had to take care of things. So I came and I prayed. The need was still there. And I received the rhema. Meaning God spoke to me. He said, be still. I will take care of this. When I had that in my spirit, the word of God works in you. Immediately I had peace. But I still have not seen it physically. As I stepped out with that peace and started thanking God, the thing manifested in the physical realm. And that situation was taken care of. So that's the difference between, first, this physical world, this is a spiritual world, the letter of the word, and the spirit of the word. Amen? Now, it says, there was nothing made that was made without the word. Amen? He says the word is life. Amen? So what does that mean? We all have life here, isn't it? The life we have here can be sick, can be anything can happen because of sin. The life we have here has expiration date. Amen? The life we have here can have a lot of things happen that creates a limitation. The life we have here through the blood of Adam. So this life is why we have struggles, we have psychiatrists, we have doctors, we have all kinds of things, okay? And they provide these solutions. But this life that we receive is talking about this word was life and then came the blood of Jesus. This life is Zoe, is God's own life. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. God's nature, God's life is forever. This life has only capacity for this world and gravity. This one transcends both natural and gravity. This is a spiritual life. And when you are born again, that's the life you receive from Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, again, remember we're talking about the Word. The Word is life. The Word is light. Amen?
Amen.
It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word is life, and then it's light. Amen? Why light? Because in this Adamic world, this fallen world, is darkness. It's darkness. My brothers and sisters, is that I lived in it. Many of you that came, none of us was born again from our mother's womb. We came out of darkness. We came out of the powers of darkness. You might have the sun, but there is darkness. The world is dark. How can somebody sit and watch millions of people die in war? How can people be so depraved what they do to children? Darkness is not what you see, it's what the world does that you don't see. Because their deeds are evil. So we came out of darkness. Many of us has been wounded, broken by people possessed with spiritual darkness. We've been hurt, we've been wounded. So now, the Bible says we come out of darkness, we come here. But that doesn't mean you're healed overnight. That doesn't mean, okay? So here's what is happening. When we come out of this world and we are born again, we need a GPS, and we need a roadmap. This world is dark. All we knew growing up is the culture of this world, the systems of this world, the ways of this world is all built on pride and lust. It's about me, me, and me. That's what this world is. Anybody put you under pressure, that's what you end up manifesting. It's about me. I will die. You die first before I die. So this whole is me. Amen?
Amen?
Darkness. Self. When we come out of this world, you don't change overnight. First, what changes in you is Jesus comes into your spirit. Amen? You're born again, but your soul and your mind has been devastated. Culture system has been built around it. The way you think, the way you do things is still there. So for you to operate effectively as a born again, you have to understand there are two different kingdoms. And you need a roadmap. And the roadmap is the Word of God.
Amen.
If you've never traveled from those days, we have that roadmap, what they call it. If you've never traveled from here to New York before and you don't know how to get there, you need a guide, you need a map.
Amen.
Or else you'll be rolling around Tennessee for 10, 20 years trying to find where New York is. Amen? That's how much the Word of God is. This Word of God is the only roadmap only road map from heaven. It's the only constitution, the only road map that can change our thinking, our patterns, everything that we used to do, so that this kingdom can benefit us. A lot of times, believers just think God doesn't care about their health, God doesn't care about this, God doesn't care about that, their finances, their family, their this, because it just looks like I'm coming to church, nothing is working. God is not a liar. Amen? If we follow this roadmap, Psalm says God's ways are higher than the ways of man. Amen? This roadmap is our only GPS that will help us navigate light in the midst of darkness. So when you get saved, when you get born again, and you don't read this Bible, you just come to church and hear, you don't read this Bible, it doesn't change your mind. You are in the kingdom, but your roadmap is still the worldly style, still your culture, still your system. It doesn't work. You cannot come from one country in Europe and come to America and use, the laws are not together. Amen? You have to keep the laws of here for it to work for you. Because the constitutions are different. So, if you come out as a believer and you don't study this Bible and you want the kingdom to work for you, there's war in between. That's why this is our roadmap. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you why. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. We're talking about the Word of God. Okay. Psalms 1. Psalms chapter 1. Okay, Psalms chapter 1, I want to show you what a roadmap does. He said, blessed is the man or woman that walk not in the counsel of what? You see that walk is not W-O-R-K, it's walk. Huh? Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel. In other words, you are no more using your worldly mind, your worldly ways, your worldly thinking to operate in the kingdom. Amen. It says, blessed is the man that is not still walking in your old ways of doing things. Nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's what we do in the world. We'll get to that point and you will understand. Verse 2. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his law, that's his word, his constitution, his way, doth he meditate. Listen to this word, meditate. Day and night. Amen? Day and night. Last week I shared with you, some of you here eat food about 3 times a day. Some of us just eat maybe 2, sometimes once. But there are some of you that eat 3 and snacks in between. Amen? It doesn't matter how much you eat. Okay? But the physical food is what nourishes your body. Amen? It's what gives you the capacity, the ability to walk and do everything else. Amen? So, God said, for you to come out of the world, your style, your ways of doing things, the ungodliness that is in our mind and soul, now that we are born again, he says you have to eat the food, spiritual food, at least 2 a day. Amen? If a child is born, you don't feed them. So he said, meditate day and night. Meditate is not just read. It means study. Study. Many people don't know the will of God because they don't study. They don't take the road map and say, what is the kingdom of God about? Why am I in this kingdom? Why do I come to church? Why? It looks like. So he says you have to meditate day and night. When he says you have to eat the word of God day and night, see the results of it. See the results. He says, this is what will happen. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and its leaves shall never wither, and whatsoever you do, you prosper. Let's quickly read Joshua chapter 1. Open to Joshua chapter 1 and we'll read the same thing there. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read from 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the word which Moses my servant commanded thee. Listen to this. Turn not from it, from the left, from the right to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever you are going. Verse 8, this book, this word of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate it therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Amen. For time, we want to finish, because this is a process. What I just read to you is God's blueprint, is God's advice for every new believer. We'll get back to that in future. But as we're summarizing and closing today, I want us to open to a very popular scripture, Psalms 23. Psalms 23. See, if you go home and study some of these things that we just went through, you see what God will speak to you. But how many of you have read, know Psalms 23? Okay, listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. Huh? Okay. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Huh? He leads me beside the still waters. Huh? He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, yes. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with fresh oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What does this mean? I want to explain to you as we close. You don't see Jesus, but what I read to you says, in the beginning was the Word, and Jesus was with God, and the Word was God, isn't it? So if this Word is God, and this is the Word of God, this is what happens. It says, the word, when I'm in the world, I get born again. Now it says, the moment I'm born again, it says, the word of God is now my shepherd. Because the Spirit of God and the word agree. The Spirit of God is here. So this word becomes my counsel. This word becomes my guide. This word becomes my meditation. This word becomes my identity. So I start reading this word. So listen to what happens. So suddenly, I'm a Christian. I'm reading this word. And the word is different from the culture and the system I came from. So I'm walking, I'm obeying the word of God. God is with me. He's now my shepherd. I'm now the sheep. And he's leading me and I'm following the word. Then suddenly he says, he will lead me beside still water. I get born again. He comforts me. He takes me. I cry. Then all suddenly I'm maturing as a believer. Then he says, suddenly things begin to happen to you. He says, he leads you though you go through the valley of the shadow of death. You start going through some things. You start like Joseph, like Moses, like David, persecution, pain, lack, or struggles, or all this stuff, and you begin to wonder, what's happening? I became a Christian. He's changing your culture of the world. He is breaking the old cycle of thinking. He's breaking, he's purging all these trials and temptation. He is walking Christ in you. As he's doing that, you are going through. But if you don't read this Bible, if you don't study the roadmap, when you are going through these things, it's not easy to trust God. It's not easy to believe that God will walk you, God will bring you through. You think you are by yourself. He says, no, the Lord is with me.
Amen.
Once you obey. Amen?
Amen?
Now, this is what happened. As you're going through, like Joseph, like all these people, they were going through this. Like all of them, they went through. All to destroy our ways of thinking. Our ways of doing things. To remove them. So that by the time he brings you through, like Joseph, like David, like most of you here, into the place God has for you and anoints you, you will not do it a worldly way. Do you know how many ministers, leaders have fallen in these last few days? Big names. Because when we are going through, when Paul was going through, God said, I won't take it away. I want to take away what is not of me in your life. But we say, no, because we don't understand. Moses went through, David went through. God was removing in them that self that Satan can easily take over.
Amen.
When they are lifted up. You can never walk with God that you're not going through. You will never die in the wilderness if you obey God. You make it to the promised land.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Then he anoints you, he empowers you, and you begin to prosper. Like David says, he will prosper your ways. He will make your blessings where there is no sorrow to it. You will leave a legacy for your children. You have a testimony of the kingdom. So Psalms 23 tells us that as believers, we'll go through things. But God is with you. You go through things, but you come on the other side victorious. You go through things, you come on the other side healed, blessed, promoted. You go through things, the Lord, the word of God is guiding you. So as we are standing on the word of God, it says this word will be a lamp. Psalms 119 verse 105. To be a lamp to your feet and it'll be a light to your path.
Amen.
A lamp to your feet, a light to your path. In a crooked and a dark world. That's what this world will be. Let's pray. I don't know what you had this morning. I don't know what you've received. But you, take the rhema, what God has spoken to you this morning, so that you will not leave this place and come back. It's gone. What did the Lord say to you? Today, receive this Bible as the infallible word of God. Make a commitment, make a decision today to start meditating on the word of God. One of the ways to do that, you can go buy some what they call daily devotions. If you can't, those daily devotions will help you. We'll show you how to meditate on the word on a daily basis. I do that with my wife. I do that on my own. Daily. When you miss it, you come back. But try to meditate. Because every answer you need is in God. As two, this is infallible word. Meditate on it daily. Then one thing I want to advise you, obey the word of God. So as you pray this morning, ask God for grace. Father, I've heard your word. Give me the grace to believe that this is you. Help me to meditate, to wait on your word. And then give me the grace when you speak to me, when you give me rhema understanding, that I will obey it. I will speak it out of my mouth in my situation. If you will allow God to impact this, if you make this decision, you will not be the same this week. So just pray that prayer. You and the Lord, yes. Whatever God has spoken to you, make that decision with the Lord. Make that decision with the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that the entrance of your word gives light. Father, I thank you that your word is a light to our path, a lamp unto our feet. Father, your word is wisdom. Your word is knowledge. Your word is a guide. Your word changes our situations. You've exalted your word above all your names because you are your word and you change not. So, Father, today, deliver us from looking to men, but look to your word. Look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have your word and we have your spirit. Holy Spirit, seal in us decisions that will change our life from this morning as we study, meditate with your help, your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. You changed my life with your word. And you transform me every day from glory to glory. You heal me. You provide everything you've spoken in your word. Truly, David says, I am old and I was young. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the sin begging. Many might be the afflictions of the righteous, but I've seen you deliver. Father, let your word be true to us. We thank you for it. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.